Well, summer is the season of festivals. You might be tuning in right now from the Falls Music and Arts Festival, which kicked off in three locations a couple of days ago. But while that event has managed to pull in the crowds year on year, spare a thought for some of the high-profile events that were canned this year. Soulfest, Soundwave Music Festival and short film event Tropfest are some of the casualties, although Tropfest was saved at the last minute by a generous sponsor. Claire Nichols reports.
Sir, sorry. Oi, it's work. You got to answer it. Tell him I can't go in.
I got it.
Paul's fine. This is Sebastian.
Yeah, look, he's not really up for talking right now.
It's his granny.
Yeah, well, she's dead.
That's a bit of Granny Smith, the winning film at last year's Tropfest. In November, it was announced that the Short Film Festival would not go ahead this year due to what its founder, John Paulson, described as a terrible and irresponsible mismanagement of funds.
You and me, we can do whatever we want.
But in recent weeks, a lifeline arrived. A big sponsor came on board, with Paulson telling Channel 9 the event will go ahead in Sydney's Centennial Park on Valentine's Day next year.
You know, the filmmakers have had probably the roughest time of anybody because they got the news one day that they got into the finals, and I think that for any young Australian filmmaker to get into Tropfest is about, you know, as good as it gets in an early career. And then to find out really the next day that there was no Tropfest has been devastating. So we're going to just trying to put it all back together again.
While Tropfest remains for now, other big-name festivals have not been so lucky in 2015. In just its second year, the Soul Music Celebration's Soulfest was canned, with organisers blaming poor ticket sales in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. Despite an A-list lineup including Mary J. Blige, Lauryn Hill and Mos Def, organisers said sales were so bad, the financial loss that would have been incurred by the event if it were to go ahead would have been devastating. And just this month, it's been revealed that the country's biggest rock festival, Soundwave, will not go ahead in 2016. The festival was due to be held in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, the organiser again blaming poor ticket sales. Dr. John Weldon is based at the School of Communications and the Arts at Victoria University. He says Australian audiences are becoming increasingly discerning in a saturated festival market.
You have to have something that they really can't get anywhere else. And if all you've got is a couple of bands that they've seen 1,000 times on YouTube and they've got all the downloads and all the outtakes and studio stuff that they want, it's really hard to get them to spend $100 to come out and see it all again.
So, what kind of events are punters willing to pay for? Perth's Fringe World Arts Festival has been a runaway success since its debut in 2011, a summer event that brings music, circus, burlesque, comedy and cabaret to Perth's CBD. In 2015, it took in more than $6.4 million at the box office, double the takings from the previous year. It's now the third largest fringe festival in the world.
We've seen rapid growth, and it's very much down to the high spirits of the people of Western Australia really wanting to take in as much of this kind of entertainment offering as possible, which is just, it's wonderful and it's thrilling.
Amber Hasler is the director of Fringe World, which kicks off again next month. She puts the success of the event down to her team's emphasis on creating an experience for the audience, one they can't get from behind a computer screen.
When we approach the festival, we look at all areas. We look at not only what performers are on that night, but, you know, what the experience for people might be coming into that performance space. So we consider making the most of public spaces and providing really interesting infrastructure. You know, that's from the Spiegel tents that we see a lot here, through to Big Tops, through to these beautiful, really interesting old little Dutch theatres, you know, and repurposing space as well. You know, a lecture theatre at Central TAFE in the heart of Northbridge is suddenly, you know, one of the largest comedy performance spaces. It's wonderful. And also just feeling really comfortable. You know, these spaces are built to make people feel like they're at their best mates on a Sunday afternoon, kind of just having a relaxed barbecue. That's the kind of spirit we're trying to inject right alongside, you know, seeing world-class performance and entertainment.
While YouTube might be the enemy of the festival, Dr. John Weldon says there are other elements of the digital world that festival organisers should be embracing.
It's important these days, if someone goes to your website, even if you're a once-a-year festival, and the information there is 6 months old, people think you're out of date, you're out of touch. So it's important to maintain an updated digital presence. Plus, there's so much you can do festival-wise online. You can Skype festival, you can participate in digital workshops and so forth. So yeah, it's having a rather market effect.
That's a lot more work for a promoter or organiser, isn't it?
It is. It is a lot more work. And so people have to be much more wary of where their festival dollar is spent.
While festival organisers fight for relevance in a crowded Australian market, there are some that argue that there are better ways to improve the cultural life of the country. With the 2016 calendar already chock full of music and arts, writers and film festivals, street parties, food events and more, Dr. John Weldon says that sometimes the best option might be to skip the festival idea altogether.
It seems like festival is an easy go-to for civic bodies and government organisations that need to be seen to make a splash for their artistic buck, to impress people who are, you know, who are in charge of their purse. Of the budget, but perhaps sometimes it might be a better decision to think, look, we could spend $2 million on a festival, or we could build a recording studio, or we could build a dance hall for a dance trip, or we could sponsor a little theatrette or something like that, and that's something that's going to be there for 10 years or 15 years rather than a festival, which is often a bit like a circus where the festival comes to town, everyone has a good time, and then they go and all you've got left is a ring of yellowed grass where the big top used to be.
That was Dr. John Weldon from Victoria University, finishing that report by Claire Nichols.